Hey, we got to hang out with Reno Collier on the show today, and we're going to go ahead and put that interview at the end of the podcast this week. You'll love it. He's so funny. Again, that'll be right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
Bring him one back.
Okay.
Just because she's so great. Okay. That is our goal today, the OK Lady. One of the OKs. By the way, if you love music, you need to download the Pickle Jar app, show some gratitude for your favorite artist, and support some great causes around town.
Okay.
Plus, you can watch exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else. So do it.
Okay.
Download at picklejar.com. And here we are in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Hi, Big D. Hi, Patrick. Hi, Carson.
Hello.
And hi, me.
I'm Bubba. Hey, what's up? So, Bubba, I did some research for you.
Okay.
And it is not true that the government has outlawed the time change.
Okay. So, yeah, this is what we're no, outlawed or...
Or did away with it or whatever.
Yeah, I thought they were getting rid of it. Like in the spring, it was done and they passed it and all that kind of stuff. So that was the whole idea, was that no more back and forth after spring. Once it was set, then it was done.
Yeah, a lot of people apparently thought this. The Senate approved legislation to make daylight saving time permanent by 2023, but it still needs House approval before Biden can sign it into law.
What is the House doing that's more important than fixing this problem?
That's a good point.
I mean, this may be the dumbest thing of all time. Daylight savings time, it's all about control. That's what it is. Just do as you're told.
Hawaii. Why do I say that like I'm from there?
Hawaii.
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 Hawaii. And Arizona, except for the Navajo Nation, are the only U.S. states that don't observe it. Daylight saving time. Also, who else? What territories also don't?
Puerto Rico and Guam.
Yes.
And the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yes. Two more.
There are more.
American Samoa.
Oh, yes.
And Northern Mariana Islands.
Well, yeah, I always throw the USNMI, all of that in as one giant Pacific Islands thing, and that's kind of my bad. Whenever I say Guam, I always mean the entire Pacific Islands region.
How many people do you think can name the U.S. territories? I would say 1%.
Are those the only territories? Those four? Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Guam, Northern Marianas, and American Samoa. That's five.
One, two,
you said four.
Three, four, five. Sorry, there's five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And what do you call it? Northern Marianas?
I think it is. It's USNMI. U.S.
Northern Mariana Islands?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. But yeah, you live there, so you would know.
I live close to there.
Yeah, how far is it from Guam to wherever that is?
Everything is hours. I mean,
can't get to it easy because there's no road.
Everything's a plane, yeah. So I don't know, like, distance or any of that kind of stuff.
I'm looking at
it. But it's all far.
Huh.
It's a lot of water out there, man.
So how do we get that? Is that one of the things after the Second World War?
No, actually, we got Guam from the Spanish-American War.
Really?
Yeah, that was a trophy. Just like Puerto Rico was. Wasn't Puerto Rico also from the Spanish-American War, Patrick?
What? I'm not barely paying attention to all this.
No, I'm just saying.
You're not riveted by this? No. This isn't some of our best content? What? Okay. Excuse
me? You even bored, Patrick.
I mean, we are talking Mariana Islands talk.
Man, I don't even know what the... I don't even know.
I don't even think I'd heard of that until
it's
today.
It's where America's Day begins.
That's
Remember,
right.
They're on the other side of the dateline, so they get to experience tomorrow today.
So they know the future.
They do know the future. And it was awesome. Like, I used to do, like, Happy New Year, and then I would have, like, my New Year there, and then I would wake up the next morning and have New Year with all my friends.
Have you ever shot an email to someone in that area? I had to do it the other day. I had to send an email to somebody in Australia, and they replied back, and it said my email had been sent on Saturday. And I'm like, no, I sent that. Oh, that's when they got – and it really messed with my head.
Like right now, I'm going to pull up the weather. And I bet it's going to be mid-80s and low 70s for the weather there.
I'm looking at pictures of the McDonald's there.
Mm. Yeah. 86 for the high, 79 for the low. Every day.
That's pretty nice.
Does it get amazing?
Does it get, like, do you get tired of it, though?
No. You know, there are some people do. I say you said you. I don't, because I love that. You have two seasons, wet and dry. But no, you don't get tired of the weather being amazing. Why would you? I remember last year, everybody freaked out because they touched 69 degrees for about 20 minutes. And they were like, whoa, it's a new ice age. They hadn't been in the 60s since the 60s, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, just looking at these pictures of McDonald's, I just realized the brilliance that McDonald's engineers have when the McFlurry, the spoon is also what they use to attach to the machine to make it.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yeah. You ever notice that? It's got a little hook at the top.
Yeah, that's why it's got kind of the hole.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was hollow, but I thought that was just for some other reason I didn't know.
It's because it's right there in the machine. It's the paddle. It spins the McFlurry. The stirrer.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that very efficient?
Yeah, also, you ever go to Dairy Queen and order a Blizzard? And you ever notice when they bring it to the window?
They always flip it upside down
to show you how thick it is.
Yeah.
That's a good stuff, man.
I love that, man. That's just like one of those little things that I guarantee you don't get in other countries. That's a little piece of America right there. Like, hey, want to see how thick this milkshake is? There you go. Turned it upside down before I handed it to you.
Oh, my God. Bob, I'm looking at the McDonald's, and they have an inside picture, and one of them says USA hanging off of the ceiling, like they just made, like handmade.
Mm-hmm.
It was like after 9/11 when all the gas stations put "We Love America" in the windows. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I miss those days. Oh, wow. I just watched a McFlurry be made. That's really. I'm sorry. I was mesmerized.
You're it's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's get back into it.
Have you ever gone to a McDonald's in a foreign country, though? Because it really does feel like it smells like America. The French fries taste like America.
I was on my honeymoon back in the day, and I had been eating, you know, cruise ship food and all this port food and all that kind of stuff. Dude, I got alcohol poisoning, and it was a rough time. And then I remembered we're in St. Thomas, and I saw a Wendy's. I'm like, we're eating Wendy's. So we go to Wendy's and we ordered everything, and it was all the American Wendy's stuff. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that was the best food I had on that entire cruise.
It does. It's got this sense of familiarity and nostalgia. I remember being in Germany when I was 17, and after like 6 or 7 days, you're just like, ugh, everything is weird. It's not bad, it's sausage and cheese. It's just, even the stuff you think is normal, like bread and cheese and meat, it's not. It's all different. They use all different spices and seasonings and techniques. Yeah. And you go to McDonald's and those chicken nuggets and fries tasted like America. I started humming the national anthem. I did. It was great. Standing in line, eating my French fries. God bless America. It's fantastic.
Let freedom ring. It's an inside joke. I watched somebody somewhere. They were doing like chicharrones, you know, like pork rinds and all that.
Yeah.
They were doing that, but with fish skin. And they were doing like the same exact thing, but it was fish. And I'm like, that was one of those other foreign countries doing something their way. And I was like, I bet that's good, though, because I love fish.
I had it. Yeah, we used to, the Vietnamese population in my town, they would do that. It was like pork rinds, but it was fish skin.
I would like that. And it was good.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's like eating a pork rind, but it's got a little hint of fishiness to it.
Okay. I would like that.
Carson, have you spent much time, any time overseas?
No, I just did a trip to
Sheffield.
I did a trip to Bermuda when I was a Girl Scout. And
the Girl Scouts in Connecticut
go to Bermuda. And then, I did a little time in England, and when I was in high school, my Latin class, we went to Italy for 10 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. Mm-hmm.
Did you like Italy?
Oh, very much, yeah. Yeah, I was very...
Was it Rome or where?
No, we did Rome, but we started in Venice, and then we went to... We did Milan, we did... They take you down the whole country, so... Florence and Assisi, and all that kind of stuff. So we went up and down. Pompeii, that was the whole reason, because you're in Latin. And I don't know if you guys ever took Latin in high school, but how they teach you Latin, because it's not an active language, they teach you about this family who the head of it, the father was named Caecilius. And his records, because he was a banker, they all survived the eruption of Vesuvius. And so they were, that's how they teach you about him and his son. Even I remember to this day, his name's cook is Grumio. So Grumia est in cucina. That means he's in the kitchen. Mm. And you find out at the end of your first year that, like, oh, Caecilius and the whole family died except the son, because they all died in the eruption. So you feel like
you're... But you got to go to their house by now anyway.
That's true.
I mean, you know? Yeah, but you become attached to this family, and then, like, oh, they did.
Oh, and also there was a volcano and they all
there
died.
There was, yeah, 79 AD. So that was how we learned Latin, was by getting to do that. So then they take you over to Italy with the idea that, oh, you know, we're going to get you guys immersed in Latin, and you can see, you know, how all the romantic languages that came from Latin. And then they take a bunch of 17-year-olds and find out there's not really a drinking age. And So, and apparently there's not lot of blondes there, because boy, did I get stopped. And I was a very... I don't want to say immature in that I was, you know, like when you call
you were a little naive.
Yeah, naive. That's probably a better word. And so all this male attention was terrifying to me. Some guy was like, ooh, Claudia Schiffer. And I was like, what? Ooh. Yeah. And I'm like, I need an adult. I need an adult. And yeah.
He's like, I'll be your adult.
It was a really fun experience, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I had just had a memory. I was so the age to get into the bars in Germany was 18, around where Dominic and his family live. So I was 17. It was after high school, but I didn't turn 18 for like a month. So they snuck me into a bar in Hereford because it was near a British air base, and all they cared about is as long as you weren't British, you weren't there, you know, in the British Air Force, they didn't care. They're like, and so they let me go in. There was also a bar in his hometown. It was really like a big old nightclub, and I had figured out my plan, and we followed it through, and it worked. I had my school ID that just had a picture and my name on it, no birth date, okay? On the back of the ID, there was a barcode that was for the library. Do y'all remember? Did y'all have this? Then they would scan your barcode and then scan the book barcode. And that was how you check books out of the library in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I go up to the guy and I hand him my school ID. And he goes, "What? You know, what is this?" And I said, that's my ID. He goes, "This is school ID. There is no date." And I said, "What are you kidding? In America, if you don't drive a car, all you have is your school ID. You know, and I don't have a driver's license, so that's my ID." And he gets all irritated, and he goes, "There's no date." I said, "Just use the scanner. What's wrong with you? All the information is, all you have to do is scan it, and it gives you all the info." And I'm acting like toward him like he's some kind of backwoods, you know, rude.
What a maroon.
I know, God. Right. This is 1997, I think. So that didn't exist in America either, but I made him believe it. And my buddy comes along and says to him in German, "Yeah, be careful, because in America, everything's high tech. So, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself." And so he goes, fine, go. They didn't care. You know, and as I'm walking away, I hear the guy say to his buddy, the other bouncer, and he goes, "Scanner, wow." And I'm like, wow, I just made that. You know what? Like 5 years later, that's a thing. Dude. Now, in a lot of places, they just swipe your ID.
The airport does that.
Oh, yeah.
Europe was way ahead of us on all the tap-to-pay stuff, too. All the NFC stuff, you know, the little chip in your card where you just hold it up to the stuff.
Yeah, I remember... when I went for the bachelor party, when Dominic got married in 2014, like, they had chips. You had to have a credit card with a chip in it to get all kind of stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'd never seen that.
Mm.
Now we have them there everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand how the chip is that much safer than the magnet strip. I guess it's easier to replicate the magnetic strip thing. But, like, when you use the chip at the gas pump, it doesn't make you put in your zip code. Why not? Is it just like someone could still steal my card?
Does. Mine does sometimes too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I haven't had to put that in there in a long time.
In a long time. Only if
I guess maybe it depends
strip.
On what place you go maybe, for your gas.
So you're saying you take the card and you tap it or you insert it?
Insert it with the chip.
Insert
it.
I do the tap, bro. I'm all about the tap.
Tap, tap.
And I'm like, I use my watch for the tap and all that.
I was surprised though, because I flew, I guess, a couple of months ago, and I had been on a plane back in April, but I had still showed my boarding pass, you know, my phone, the QR code. And then they were like, oh, no, all we need is your ID. And they just scanned it. And I thought,
And We've moved on to this.
Then I tried to look like, oh, yeah, old hat. I totally know that's what you guys do. And, you know, not look like. I didn't know that this was a thing now.
I have no problem telling them, I haven't flown in a while. Help.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm TSA pre-check. You guys are, too. And when I was coming back, and I was at a smaller airport, and the line is so long. And then I find the TSA pre-check, and I'm like, there's literally nobody. And I just walked right up to the front. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, there you go. Scans the ID. And, I mean, I beat 45 minutes worth of a line. That was insane.
Have you guys done the real ID?
Not yet.
I have an appointment to go and get mine here very soon because my license is about to expire.
The deadline is May 3rd.
I saw that. I went to go book a flight, and they said, just an FYI. And, I mean, it wasn't for coming up that close, but I guess they're just trying to make sure the word is out there that you need to have it.
Is this for that new ID?
The real ID.
Yeah. What's the date again?
Most states have already
May
gotten
23rd.
It.
May 3rd. Yeah. I don't know.
So they have it, but I don't have it.
So what is what is the difference? It just has a star on it or something, right?
My parents have
it. And my wife has hers. So, I mean, I have a passport if I really.
That's it. You can use a passport, too, right?
Use a passport.
Yeah.
This is to keep you from having to bring your passport to fly domestic. But, I mean, okay. So I'm not going to the DMV just to get a new license.
You have to go to the DMV?
Yeah, you have to. But you can make an appointment. So that's what I'm saying. I have an appointment coming up later this month to go and sit down and, you know.
I love it. Oh, yeah, I made an appointment still 3 hours later. Yeah. The only thing that bought you is the guy next to you had to wait 4 hours because he didn't make it.
Yeah.
It came after the 9/11 commission's recommendation, set standards for blah, blah, blah.
But if I'm a TSA pre-check,
they've already done all that
stuff.
Right,
you've already. Can't I just, like, send that in to somebody?
You still got to have the ID.
Okay.
Look at Patrick. Just a second ago, I didn't know what it was. And now he's.
I didn't say I don't know what it is. About it. I didn't know the date. But yeah, they've been talking about this for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They keep pushing the date back. Originally, it was supposed to be like 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, COVID
and then they were like,
screwed it up.
Yeah, they were like, okay, fine.
What are you doing after this?
What am I doing for what?
What are you doing after this?
Today?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We all gave you money to go buy
lottery tickets, of course. I didn't know
you
that.
Didn't do that already?
I would have
thought you did it yesterday.
I thought you were going yesterday.
No, I didn't.
You said
don't
you were.
Forget,
I'm going today, though. Wow. I got it, man.
So, a good move here is it's Friday. Uh-huh. You're not going to see us on the weekend. You can just say you bought them and you have your tickets.
Yeah.
And then when we don't win,
it's like, oh, yeah, guys, we didn't win. I would never do that to y'all.
As you pocket the cash.
You also need photographic evidence.
We do.
Yes,
yeah.
We want to see them.
Oh, yeah, whenever I've done pools like this, you absolutely take pictures
of the
tickets.
Well, now I'm definitely not going to do it. So there you go.
You're like, here's your money back.
All right, fine.
Be waiting on that Venmo.
Foiled.
All of us put in $20, right? So I'm going to buy 50 tickets. That's $100.
Yeah.
I saw where someone online bought like 8,000 tickets.
Man, wow. 8,000 tickets is $16,000.
Yeah.
What?
Wow, I could afford 2 George Strait tickets if I had that money.
Yeah, y'all seen the prices for the George Strait?
Yeah, Carson sent me those.
If only we knew somebody who would be up on the stage.
But my thing is, I don't understand why they charge more for a stadium show. Like, I think you would charge less because there's more people, so you don't have to charge as much.
How much are the tickets?
Front row is $3,000.
Per ticket.
And that is straight along
do
line.
Do you get,
then,
like, to touch him at all?
No, it is literally a premium price ticket because then if you go a few rows back, they have the Gold Star tickets, which is a VIP package, which is that liquor brand that he's partnered with.
Yeah.
And I think that's just you get to hang in their lounge before the show. I don't believe there's anything else associated with. Yeah. And because a friend of mine posted, like, wow, these George Strait ticket prices are insane. And I go, look, some people think ticket prices are insane, but I have my own threshold that I know I'm a little wackier. And then I looked at those and I literally went, I laughed out loud by myself like
the
a loon.
The very tippy top nosebleeds were like $150.
That's
in a stadium, not in an arena. Like, what? I don't understand that.
Mm-mm.
I don't understand that
at all. So is this a cash grab or is
it? Of course it is. Well, somebody guaranteed it. Like, it's a Live Nation show.
Mm-hmm.
They paid George. a small fortune to do these shows.
Or a large fortune, depending on your point of view.
And so they're just trying to make it up. But that's their flexible pricing, right? So the tickets, after a few days, if they don't sell
you
it
say
out,
that, though,
they'll come
but
down.
I'll tell you, I went to go see Backstreet a couple months ago, and they had the same thing where they do the surge pricing, basically, is the best way to describe it. And so I would sit on Ticketmaster. I mean, this is what I'm doing in my little cave all day. And I just sort of refresh.
So
and I keep checking the prices. And finally, I snagged a pair of tickets, but they were resale, that were so much cheaper than everyone else's. And when I got to the show, and I was basically second row alongside of the stage, and there were 4 empty seats next to me and 6 empty seats in front of me. They never sold them because they never dropped the price. That I even checked while we were in there. To see, because the opening acts on, and I went
100% of nothing is still nothing.
Right. I go, you got zero monies off of this.
Do you guys remember before you got tickets online, you had to go to a store and buy your tickets?
And wait in line?
I barely remember that. We did that a couple of times, but what we more often did was dial the 800 number
tickets
for Ticketmaster.
Oh, I didn't do that.
We
would
did that
go
all the time. And I remember we got a phone with redial on it. Like, that gave us a huge advantage. Like, it the did, early
yeah.
90s,
yeah.
redial was brand new technology. So you would beep, beep, beep. Oh, busy. Hang up. Redial.
You know what's something people don't realize either is we look at Ticketmaster now online and think this whole influx pricing is new and a product of the internet. I remember being in line for Backstreet tickets in 2001. And the ticket price they had told us on the radio was, let's say it was $100. And so it was cash only, couldn't use a credit card. Mm. And so everybody's in line, and the tickets were $100. Everybody's got their cash, and I had something like $300 with me because I was going to buy 2. And then all of a sudden, the chick at the ticket printer yells out, tickets have gone up. They're now $175 each. And it was like, wait, how? How? And it was, they were surge pricing even then. And so there's all these, and there's all these, there's me, and then there's the moms with the 5-year-olds in line, and they're like, they're running to the ATM because they had to get more cash because they'd budgeted for $100, not $175.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. And because I was buying
what I'm also thinking is that somebody
was
paying $175 for a concert in the 90s or 2000s, whatever that was.
Yeah, and it was, they did the tiered pricing kind of there too.
That's crazy to me. Like, call me cheap or whatever.
No, you're right.
I won't pay that to see anyone.
I don't care what
genre, whatever it is, George Strait could be playing in somebody's backyard, and I'm not going to pay. Well, I might pay that for that.
No, I was about to say.
I might pay that for that.
But that's not a stadium where you're up in the flipping.
Yeah, if it's me and 6 people,
level,
I might pony up.
That's different.
You know, an arm.
I'll tell you, of all the prizes we've ever had that I've ever been a part of in radio, nothing really got the reaction as backstage passes for NSYNC. We were doing tickets and backstage passes for NSYNC in 1998. Like the height of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually before their height.
Or it might have been.
Bye Bye was 2000.
Might have been. Oh, no. Yeah, this was before that.
Wow.
This
which, again, boy bands were still
massive.
Might
have been January of 99 or something like that.
Yeah.
But like it was late 98, early 99. And we had the radio station I was at, 2 tickets, 2 backstage passes. And people were just absolutely, the amount of hype, how to win them. And we ran this like 3-day long contest where you had to know the song that played at the top of each hour for 102 straight hours. So we made people jump through hoops, and I'll tell you, people did. People followed us around town to get the list.
Yep.
Because if you missed it, we had the list, and I was the guy who went out and did it.
And you got to go to some sponsored thing, and
McDonald's.
People get the list?
Yeah, go to McDonald's, and I'll be here for 1 hour if you want to come copy the list. We had these big poster boards with the songs on them, and people showed up. People were jumping over each other to come out and copy the list just in case they were the correct caller. And if you were the correct caller, you then had to name all 102 songs that we played.
You see some of that in you see some stations kind of still have that mentality.
Yeah.
People just won't do that now.
People are lazy.
Well, the
will
thing is,
and they feel like everything
is
owed to them anyway. So why should they jump through hoops?
You have to have a prize that's that insane.
I've never
seen anything.
George Strait in your backyard.
No. Yeah. Morgan Wallen tickets in Nashville when they were reselling for $1,000 each.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know that people would have gone to that extreme, but you could have gotten
people.
No, but
when you
to
get into boy bands, teen idols, because you have daughters, what is worth, because I've been one, than following your parents around like, I want to go.
Oh, yeah. And the vast majority of people were not 19 and 20-year-old girls showing up for
It was the mamas.
It was the moms with little 12 and 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Those were the ones. And that's that's who you want. That's the, you know, the 25 to 54-year-old demographic that we that we go after.
They're going
to
listen.
Oh, yeah.
I've told you this story before, but when I was at Saturday Night Live and we had NSYNC on with when Bye 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 and Known Strings Attached came out, and it was insanity at 30 Rock for a week because people left their kids to camp out in line. And this, I think, was February of 2000. And there were children camped out, like sleeping in the street for 3 hours or for 3 days. Because they were waiting in that standby line for SNL tickets, and there were none because everybody in that building pulled in a favor because they had the 12-year-old that wanted to see NSYNC. So these children who had been left unattended for 72 hours, and then somebody has to go tell them, yeah, you're not getting in. You're not gonna see your idols. That's rough.
Like, yeah. Who would do that and put their kids outside?
Well, okay, if your kid's screaming at you, like, I want to see NSYNC, at what point do you go, fine, okay. It's New York City. Kids are a little different. They're a little more streetwise. But
there's a power in the word no.
Yeah.
What do you do for me, kid?
Did you guys already vote?
Yep.
Yeah.
You pre-voted.
No, I did not pre-vote.
Oh, you're going to do that? Are you going to go to something?
Mm-hmm. I go after we've the long day with CMAs and everything going on. But then, yeah, I'm going.
You can go today, man.
Can't go today. It's over.
I thought it was early. Oh, it was over, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
there was even a line when I did it. It was.
Yeah, I talked to Patrick. I think I had just left from voting that day, and you're like, "Oh yeah, okay."
Oh yeah, because I thought maybe he voted to the one by my house.
It took me 4 minutes,
and I looked at every single really 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just up here. Cause I'm a different district.
My line was long.
Oh no, I went at lunch on a Friday.
I went like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was 200 people.
No, that's what I'm saying, because I'm in a different district.
I looked at every single person and I judged them.
I'm around the corner here, so there's not as many people. And so, yeah, so I was like in, out.
See, I saw the one around the corner. I'm like, there's one about a mile further. If I go there, you know, that'd be less people. I was wrong.
Yep.
I thought the one closer would be, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Do you think we'll ever be able to vote through our phones?
We shouldn't.
I think we will be able to, but I think that really brings on a whole lot of fraud.
Yeah. You should go in person and vote unless you have extenuating circumstances.
But if it could be,
if it could
foolproof.
There is no foolproof thing, though. I mean,
screwed up the voting here already. So
yeah, they did.
It was in the,
So, I mean, you know what? Probably let's not. Let's not now put it on an app.
They could do it, but we shouldn't ever do it. I agree. You should give everybody in America that day off, and you tell everybody, you treat it like Christmas or Thanksgiving, where you're like, all the stores are closed, everything is closed, get your gas,
all
and you
have
tell
to
everybody.
Do, schools are closed, everybody just go vote.
Yep.
Period. That's it.
Yep.
And then it's on you. If you don't want to go wait in line and vote on your day off, then
that's on you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everybody gets that as a national. It's just like the thing with daylight savings. This makes no sense to me why it hasn't already happened.
Yeah. Well,
it should go away. Having to go to work and still try to do your civic duty. It just, this is like, it's an American thing. We're talking about every 2 years? You got 2 years for the president, then you have 2 years for the other voting stuff, then it comes back another 2 years.
Yeah, the
it would be super easy.
Are only every 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
So, I mean, every 2 years we have one day off, and everybody has that day off. It's what we do. It's America.
Yeah.
I hate daylight savings time. I hate it.
Should we just vote on that?
It's so not confusing, but I think mentally confusing every time the clock goes back. And you're like, oh, it's only 3 o'clock. It takes a good week to adjust to.
You know what I don't like, too, is all the little addendums and referendums and all these little changes they make. They write them out like a lawyer. What they should do is you're like, am I making the right choice or not? And you doubt yourself. And I just sit there and reread it 15 times. Why don't they say, do you like this? Yeah. Yes or no?
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. And because dude, if I, and I kind of consider myself somewhat intelligent.
Yeah, anything that says heretofore,
yeah,
I'm out.
Once you're doing that kind of stuff, I'm like, I don't know what this means. I don't know if I'm voting the right way or not. Because
I also
is...
like that in some places they let you vote for like judges, you know, things like, and people like, oh, it's, I have no idea who these people are. I don't know anything about them. I'm just randomly hiring and firing people based on their names.
It's the names. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I saw their sign once, but it was in a neighbor I didn't like. Yeah. Okay, so I won't vote for that guy. Exactly. That's it, because that's all the education you have on it.
I actually pick the neighbors I like by whose signs are in their yards. I'm like, I don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
Done. Done with you, pal.
I have one neighbor I really don't like, and he has a political sign in his yard, and you're right. I am like, I'm not sure how I feel about that candidate, but I know how I feel about that neighbor. This is not helping. So,
or is it? It has helped. It's given you clarity.
It's helping the other guy. It's not helping the guy who has the sign in the yard. I should say, because daylight savings always makes me think of this, because as much as I hate daylight savings, there's one thing I hate more, and that is the penny. And I man.
Patrick, and okay, go ahead.
I hate the penny.
This is some old man.
I am not an old man shaking my hand at clouds. Listen to me.
I think old men like the penny.
Stop telling me that the hundreds of millions of dollars we waste making pennies every year is not a big deal. That the last time somebody brought it up to a high official was Obama, okay? And John Green brought it up, and Obama was like, I mean, but it's just $100 million. It's just $100 million.
Okay, but you have to understand the way the government deals with. We have debts in the trillions of dollars.
$100
million to those guys is like $20 to you.
If you buy the right tickets, we'll all have $100 million.
That's right.
Right. So then you can launch your campaign. You can have a website. You can have flyers. You can put them in people's yards so they know to not like you.
No, I'm with you. I think the penny is kind of silly. But I also, you know, I'm also really, you know, we're talking about all these changes. I am not down with the digital dollar. We need to keep paper money a thing as long as possible because, man, when you give somebody the right to turn off your access to your money, that's crazy talk. I mean, that's crazy.
They
it is coming.
In Canada, and it was terrifying. And if that didn't terrify you, you're not paying attention.
And by the way, that really did happen. They shut people down. They said, sorry, can't touch your money.
It wasn't just the people protesting. It was anyone supporting them. And they started shutting down their bank accounts. I'm like, oh, crap. So if the government doesn't like what you're saying, they can freeze your bank account. That's
very terrifying.
That's some revolution stuff right there, man. And don't think we're this close to that being able to happen here. So.
The digital dollar? Yeah, it's do not. If they ever put that on the thing, you do not like the digital dollar. You don't.
No.
I mean, it's fine if we have an option for that.
Heretofore, I do not like the digital dollar.
Do you like the digital money?
And therefore, buy on two.
I like having my little cards. I love the convenience of it. But, man, I don't want it to be only online. I don't want. Scary.
It is scary. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to wait for Jesus to come back.
That'll
help.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm waiting for us to win some money, so buy good tickets.
Yeah, go buy your ticket. Go buy our tickets, man.
So I will, and I'm pledging right now for all of our 17 listeners, I will, if we win this money, continue to come to work. I will continue to do a show. I don't know if my co-hosts are going to be here.
100%. I'm not. You guys will probably
never
see me. I'll see you when we go and we get the big check.
Oh, when they take our smiling pictures, I'll be wearing the scream mask.
Yeah.
I want anybody to know.
That's how y'all will know if we win.
That's
because
true.
Because it'll be like suddenly it's just the Bubba show and the rest of them. Never
and Bubba.
Up. Yeah.
What do you listen to in the morning? And Bubba.
I can remember.
You would?
There you go. Good for you.
I mean, here's the thing. If you, all this money is great, but if you have no reason to wake up and nothing to look forward to.
Oh, I can find plenty of reasons.
I can find some great reasons to wake up.
I could get George Strait front row tickets now.
And I will constantly talk about how much fun I used to have working with you guys, but you'll never see me again.
I will speak so nicely.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I'll even be a sponsor.
I'm hiring expensive movers from Gary LaVox's company to come get all my crap in here and move it out for you. Yeah, no.
No, they're great, man. Gary's movers are awesome.
Bobby, remember that time you won that lottery on the...
Oh, So, can we play that audio?
No, because it's got music under it. But
does it?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Pretty sure it's just a bunch of beeps because we you hear Bubba cussing us out.
It's one of the fake lottery tickets. And
we were doing, so they came in, it was at the end of the show. Are you going to listen?
Yeah, it was late
in the day at the end of the show. We were trying to leave. And, you know, that's usually when we cut our commercials is right before we walk out the door. So Big D and Patrick, they're like, hey, we have one for the lottery. We have to cut real fast. And here, everybody gets a lottery ticket. And just so they want us to scratch. It's a scratch-off thing. So scratch it off. And if, you know, just say your results on the air. So we're like, okay.
Talking about how easy it is.
So easy to play. Oh, you have it? Put it on top of the Lainey Wilson hook thing there on two.
I just listened to it.
I was car shopping at the time, remember? And I wanted to go buy the Porsche Boxster, and here
we
go.
Wait, did you say that we told him it was a spot? So it sounds like they're doing a commercial, and it's going to sound like Bubba is 12 years old.
Well, I was 12 years old.
Enjoy this.
Hey, y'all, it's Big D and Bubba here to tell you about the lottery.
The new game called Make Three Wishes, where you can win up to $50,000 instantly just by scratching off. You just match three like amounts and win that amount.
Okay, so
Big D, you first?
I didn't win.
All right, I'm scratching mine.
Of course, the new game, Make Three Wishes.
And I have matched.
You match three and you win that amount.
I just won.
What do you mean?
I just won $50,000, dude. I'm not. I just won $50,000.
Are you serious?
Here, look at my Make Three Wishes card thing. I just won $50,000.
Oh, so great.
He's looking at it too. See, now you're amazed.
Oh my God, you just won $50,000. Oh my God.
Can I have my ticket back?
What of my money?
Wow. Well, how do you get your money? Bubba, look on the back. How do you get your money?
Well, it tells you right here. Hold on.
And then it says, like, you got to call Santa Claus.
I'm reading the back. Y'all.
I don't know why y'all are bleeping.
I don't know.
I wasn't saying anything bad.
That's pretty funny.
That was pretty great.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at the claiming instructions, and it's like, they must be validated by the Tooth Fairy, and I'm going, wait a minute.
Anyway.
Poor Bubba.
Oh,
I was so happy.
For
I was,
60 seconds.
I was rich for just a moment.
Don't feel bad for him. He bought the car anyway.
Yeah,
I did.
Anyway. It's fine.
He's fine.
Are we done?
I think so.
Now that I'm embarrassed. So stick around after the closing jingle if you're listening on any podcast app. And anything other than YouTube, you'll have the interview with our buddy Reno Collier.
And if you're on YouTube, just look over there next to this video is the video of our interview with Reno Collier. You can watch it there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Everyone's going to YouTube.
All right.
YouTube. I heard that.
Where's my little button? Oh, here we go.
I heard.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. Yeah, but that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Comedian Reno Collier in the studio with us. Are you working out? You look like you're getting some lean muscle on you.
Maybe. Yeah, I work out a little bit. Not you know.
He works out.
I work out like I do fat guy exercise. Like I do, instead of doing real sit-ups, I do the chick ball, the big
what?
Spa ball, whatever, yoga ball. Mm-hmm. And I put my feet against the wall and just do sit-ups on there so it doesn't hurt my back.
I've never seen that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a big blow-up ball.
Yeah, I know the ball
that
thing.
That chicks use. Like,
yeah, the one that's like you can't burst it because they're like impenetrable and all
that's
that kind of stuff.
That's not true. They have weight limits, and I'm over the weight limit on the fat ball.
Can you imagine being at the gym and you get on it and it blows out? No, and everyone gets quiet, take their headphones off.
That's also why I don't ever sit in wooden chairs. I never, ever sit in wooden chairs.
You just stand up. I'm done here.
And there's probably some kind of white dust that's in there.
Oh, of course there is.
So it's just kind of falling through the sky in the air,
and you should
backlit.
You should at that moment. You should stand up and be triumphant. You have to own it. If something like that ever happens, you have to be like, "I am the champion."
Yeah. I've been working on that for years. Yeah. My gym
finally.
Too. I'm like the old guy in there. It's $10 a month. Uh-huh. That's why I joined. But there's a whole lot of, you know, like when the Mustangs are pulling out of the parking lot, Kid Rock's on, and they're like, "Yeah, I just finished my gym," you know, yeah, right. "Ball with the ball, the bang, the bang," and I, you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
And I pull in listening to Christopher Cross.
Yeah, you know?
Sailing takes me away. I am ready to hit the gym today, boys.
You have the motivational speech in your headphones. Yeah.
Reno was trying to convince me that I should exercise more, and I'm like, I don't want. He goes, why don't you try an elliptical? I'm like, trust me.
It's easier on your knees.
I know. I just
elliptical
don't
is it. Easier on your knees.
Yeah. It's not easy on my back, though, because I get a weird
exactly.
lean.
Exactly. I get like a
you
weird...
guys all are coming up with excuses why you can't do something.
No,
and
I
what
go,
we do is
I
we think about how we can do
I
it.
Go to the gym. I don't like the elliptical. It hurts my back. Yeah, it's got a weird little thing. I would much rather do the rowing machine or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's hard.
I like that. Yeah. I like that better than the elliptical.
I like the bike. I sit on the stationary bike.
Doesn't hurt your butt and your tailbone?
No, there's one where you're almost laying down.
the recumbent bicycle.
Yeah, like you know what just hit me? That I relentlessly make fun of those people. There's a greenway by my house, and these idiots lay down, and they ride a bike,
yes.
but they have flags
yes.
and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're not on a team. Nobody's sponsoring you.
No.
Like, it doesn't. And they ride by. Excuse us. Like, they're doing something important. You're laying down, but it just hit me when I'm at the gym. I'm doing the same thing. We always hate when we see other people do stuff we don't like.
But you don't have a flag. You don't have a, you know. So
you don't know that.
You need a flag at the gym.
Yeah, I got a Big D and Bubba flag.
Reno Collier in the studio hanging out. We always love having Reno in. So what is this? You get this hit. What is this?
I shot a stand-up special for Hitkor. It's Hitkor.
Oh, I thought that was a gun.
Los Angeles.
I thought that was a gun shirt. I saw HK.
No, those
on
are
it.
Just guns coming through it, son.
Okay.
Oh, that's just some rock popping
easy.
Through.
Filling up the sleeves.
Yeah, we filmed it. I filmed it out in Los Angeles, and it's a new streaming service where it's like live concerts and stuff like that. And they have. I don't want to try to explain the technology, but you. You can pick what camera angle you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody can?
So they so while you're watching it, you can go. So like Diana Krall did one, right? The piano jazz.
Yeah,
piano,
yeah, yeah.
So if you want to zero in while you're watching it on her hands playing the piano, you can.
Hmm.
It's almost like, you know how when you go to a football game, and if you have great seats, you go, oh, you know, it's great or whatever. But you're not seeing everything. You stay home and you can watch the replay and the shots
replay,
better.
Right.
And the way TVs have gotten so big and everything. So they're kind of trying to do that where it's like you can pick and choose what you want to see and how you want to see it and the whole. But it is live. So there's no what you get, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
that's
cool.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Hitkor.
And, yep.
Huh, that's interesting. Different.
Yeah. Hitkor. And you can go to the website and just kind of fiddle with it.
Yeah.
And see what it's all about. And then hopefully the app will follow soon after. And
yeah, it's all coming. So it's the very beginning stage. I probably shouldn't be talking so much about it, but I'm so excited about it. And the thing is I don't know if I can. I did my show and then was interviewed. And was talking about it went in my act. You guys know I'm a Christian and an alcoholic and recovery. You know, so I do my act just how it's not all about that. It's just, you know, just going after it. And everybody was dying laughing. Then at the end, they interviewed me and I started talking about being an alcoholic because I talk about it in my act. There were people crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like it went from total. I just never have seen a concept like this where it kind of.
So the audience is
enveloped.
Watching the interview as well. And they're involved in everything.
Yep.
Wow. Can you pick people like really pretty people in the audience to zoom in on?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. You can do whatever you want.
Do you ever think that maybe.
I like the way he laughs.
You're saying I'm not pretty? Yeah.
You're taking Patrick on the road, going to do some shows.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
We're playing the American Legion Hall in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh. Woo!
No,
yeah.
No.
Dude, look.
101st.
Yeah. Right. And what's crazy is I just did a show in Monticello, Illinois. And a dude who was in the 101st saw me in Iraq.
Wow.
Yeah. And that happens sometimes. Like people saw me in Africa or whatever. Uh-huh. So around and military people, it's so crazy.
Do you change your act up any, like when you're near a military base? Because you know there's going to be a lot of in the audience.
I don't know. I won't change my act. Well, no, that's not true. I kind of do. I just tell different stories sometimes.
Okay.
Like about things that they would be familiar with. The military is very close to my heart and all that stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I tell stories that only they would get. They were, you know, would get about being deployed.
Sure. But we kind of did the same thing with the USO tour. When we were in Japan, it was kind of more kind of catered towards that.
Right. But yeah. I don't change who I am or anything, but I'll just tell different
stories. Just pick
which
jokes work better for that crowd.
Have you heard Patrick's stuff at all?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, at Zany's. Oh. I saw you at Zany's a lot. Yeah, he's funny, man.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
I thought he hired me just because he thinks I'm a nice guy. I was like, all right.
I think you're a nice guy.
Stand-up comedy is so hard, man. It's not for everyone. And you know, a lot of radio people think they can go and do stand-up comedy, and it doesn't translate.
It doesn't at all. One time, Ingvall, dude, this is so freaking funny. So this radio local DJ guy was firing. You know, he wants to go out. They sponsor the show, so part of the deal was the guy gets to go. So the guy goes out and he's, you know, firing T-shirts and he's like, all right, you got, and he's telling these jokes and nobody's laughing. Yeah. Like at all. And he's talking about inside stuff about the radio show and things, and just nobody got it. So he's going to bring Ingvall out, and Ingvall's on the side. It's like a 5 o'clock show. Everybody in there is older, mature. It's a 5 o'clock show, packed, sold out. The guy, Bill, standing on the side, he goes, is this guy bringing me out? And I go, he said he wants to. And he goes, all right. Are you ready for your next comedian? There's like 3,000 people. It's not a comedy club. Are you ready for your next comedian? I don't know where he's from, but it's somewhere close to Funny Town, and you hear Ingvall go, holy sh-. And he goes, let's get him out here. It's Bill.
My gosh.
It's Bill.
Bill. Not Bill Ingvall.
No.
Just Bill.
Dude, it was Bill's face, all the blood left his face, and I burst out into a laughter that was close to a seizure. Like just, oh, yeah. And the guy comes over and he high-fives me, and I'm like, yeah,
you killed it.
Crushed it.
Man, right. You're the mayor of Funny Town.
The best. Yeah. I don't know where he's from, but it's somewhere. I mean, not funny. You have your own TV show,
no.
Your blue-collar
no.
Movies.
Here's
none of
son.
That.
None of that.
Yeah,
no.
None of that.
Oh, Funny Town, Bill.
Funny Town,
some
Bill.
Some town close to Funny. And Bill is
am
the
I bringing
sweetest.
You on?
No, please say
not
Funny
anymore.
Town.
Because you are about to be from somewhere close to Funny Town. That is about to happen.
Chuckleville. Here is Reno.
He's silly. He's goopy. And we're ready for fun.
RenoCollierComedy.com and find out for shows and where he's going to be at and upcoming performances. Make sure you check him out. Dude, it's always good to see you.
I love you guys.
Love
this
you.
Is the best radio show anywhere.
Well, you're very sweet to
I
see
love that. It.
Thank you. Reno Collier, everyone.